will be done on earth.
Because God is all about the harvest. Yes, He loves our giftings and He loves the things that we do, but Jesus' passion is the harvest.
We have the high ground, brothers and sisters, when we stand in love, in unity, in integrity. The world's falling apart quickly, and they will respond to that. If we walk in love and humility and integrity and the fullness of God, people will come and see it.
I'm there praying, and the Lord said, if you don't see this place ever filled, but yet you see every ministry in this city on fire, are you going to be okay with that? And I'm like, yeah, a lot less energy. Takes a lot less work to run a house of prayer than it does to evangelize the entire city. But I can pray for the harvest to come in, and that's my passion.
And I feel like the Lord is calling us to open our city, open our hearts up to women again.
Guard the unity. This term, the unity and the integrity of who we are and the integrity of the body is so important.
But God, would you please help us and stir us as a nation? Yes. That there be a supernatural sense of conviction in this nation that we must turn from our wicked ways and humble ourselves and look to you that we could see healing in this land. And so, Lord, we can't pull it off. But we're going to do what we're called to do in proclamation of the transformative gospel message and then unwavering truth. And we're going to believe, God, that there can be a turnaround.
And yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory.
We may have some more worship, but I just want to share with you what the Lord is doing here today, and I sense it's going to be extremely important to all of us that we're here. There's some surprises that we're not aware of that God's going to do for us. So, you are the community I love to be with, and you love me, and I know that, I trust that, and I love you, and so I just wanted to share with you something that brought this meeting into its form here today. And I'm blessed that people, more than just one couple, have driven from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, because they still are part of the Nashville community. So thank you guys for making the effort. And other places that people have driven down from the Joelton area. And some, it wasn't that far to get here, so you made it okay. My brother here and I are from Priest Lake, so we could have gone fishing, but we came here instead. Well, here's what might give us a bit of a transition to what we want to do this morning. Last night, I had a wonderful meal with an old friend from the Jesus Movement days. I was a part of that in the early 70s. I know this man to be an amazing craftsman. He's got his own professional wood shop. I've seen all of his work. He's just amazing, and he does shelves and cabinets and, you know, those kind of people. You have to respect them because of all the hard work. And it just looks like there's not even a single speck of error. It's just perfectly created. So we had dinner, and I was just talking about his gift mix, and he said, you know where I learned that, don't you? Well, I said, I just assume you went to school or your dad taught you. He says, no. He said, when we lived in Canada, I used to build the dog sleds. You lived in Canada. You built dog sleds. And he opened up a part of his life to me. I had no clue. There are people in your life just like that. You only know a tiny smidgen. Isn't that true? We are community, but we know so little of each other. And let me tell you, when we were blessed with 777 and Lou Wingo and so many came to the city, the stadium was filled. There was this huge Jesus march. How many were in that march? And how many came to that stadium on 777? We'll never forget it. Over 100 shofars blown at the end, or maybe more. 300. There you go. 300. At one time. That was a mighty sound heard around the world. Well, what happened, and you all know, because we've alluded to this many times, there was such a momentum, such a sense of groundswell of God that we just automatically realized we couldn't just let that be the last time we saw each other for a while. We got together once a month. Mostly pastors, intercessors, people with different ministries. And we didn't think about having a program, worship set in place, or a speaker. We just wanted to be with each other and celebrate what God was doing in our lives all week long. Not only did we have opportunity to tell our story and to ask for prayer or to get ministered to, it was a time where nobody wanted to leave because it was family. Over the years, as we've had speakers come, I've had people, a couple of you here in the room, I'd like to share what's going on. I can only give you 5 minutes because we've got to have time for the speaker. It's just part of what happens when you put on the dynamic of something more programmed. So I just felt clearly the Lord said, as we kind of end summer here, and we're going to be in September before you know it, we've got people coming that will speak, I'm sure. We need a community meeting. We need to give you a chance to say the things that have been in your heart for a long time that you haven't had a chance to talk about. You know, the rule in a family is because we love each other, love covers a multitude. You can share your heart. And I know that we want to hear about some of the things God's called you to, something that's passionate in your heart. I don't think you want to hear about my ingrown toenail. So we're trying to keep it above the snake line a little, above the human line, and talk about the things that God's doing in His Spirit in our lives. I'd like to hear from you. You're the special guests. I want to hear what God's speaking to you. What are we going to do in light of a Delta strain that's coming again, it seems like? And where do we go? And how do we make righteous and wise decisions in light of these things? Most of us already know the answer to that, but there might be questions that you'd want to ask. So questions can be asked of anyone in the room. Now, I dare say if you look around the room here, you'll see some people you are acquainted with, but they're not the best friend you've ever had in your whole wide world. You've just not spent that kind of time together. Now, these three guys, they live in the same house, so they're kind of getting to know each other over the years. I've had breakfast over there a few times, and boy, they're just real relaxed about their relationship, and they know about everything there is to know. Oh, they can cook good, let me tell you. And the coffee is amazing. Well, you might get one. But we're going to hear about the Brazilian coffee, the venture that you're in on that, if you want to. I don't want to take a lot of time in this introduction, but here's the deal. This is your chance. This is your chance to share what God is saying to you. This is your chance for us as a community to know each other. And it might be, like a lot of us do, we go out to eat afterwards and we get to know each other better. So, I'm not going to delay this, but you need to be quick about it so we don't use up the time in an inappropriate way. I want to hear your heart. New people, old people, folks that have been here, these guys have a lot to share. They've been in a tent revival. And people have been getting saved and delivered and healed. I don't know if you've seen it and heard about it, but I'm sure they got a story or two that they could tell you. I'm going to put you on the spot and let you be first. Come on up here. So here's Peggy Adams, and she's going to share a couple of things with us.
I think I'm going to share about me first, because right now it's about us, and then I'll share about Love Reach, because Love Reach falls into my story. And I'm not going all the way back to my story, but I grew up the daughter of two generational farmers, as far back as I know. So I'm a lover of the land. When I first moved here in 2015, I knew God called me to this area. On October 31st, 2015, my first meeting was at Red River Meeting House, that I got to specifically pray with some generals in this city. And it was very, very significant. I didn't know how significant at the time, because God has a time and a purpose and a season for everything under the sun. 5 years later, almost go full circle, and I've been to Kentucky a few times. You know, Kentucky, the home of the unbridled spirit, that I love to say because that's me. But 5 years later, I got, and I've spoken in different places and I've preached in different places, but I got to speak and preach at my first tent revival in the state of Kentucky. 5 years, the grace of God. And so I just want to give all the glory and honor to God for that. As a revivalist, I'm a prophetic intercessor, a prophetic voice, and I have prayed for Tennessee, Kentucky, and North Carolina, because that's where I'm from. And so as a voice that has interceded and prayed so much for revival and awakening, that's my passion. That's my heart, to see the church be revived so that we can see an awakening in this nation. So out of that place, I want to go into Bonnaroo, because God is all about the harvest. Yes, he loves our giftings and he loves the things that we do, but Jesus' passion is the harvest. He's saying once, two prayers that I pray probably more than anything else is Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because Jesus said the kingdom is within you. And my second prayer is Matthew 9:36-38. Jesus looked out over the multitudes and he was moved with compassion. When we think about Bonnaroo, we think about that. That's our scripture that we pray constantly, is the harvest. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is plenteous, but the workers are few. Pray. He didn't say run and go do this and that. He said pray first that the Lord of the harvest would send forth ekbalo workers into his harvest. And so that's what I'm here to share about is Bonnaroo. Bonnaroo begins September 1st through the 5th. If many of you, if you're not on Bob Perry's email, if you're not on his email list, see me or let me know, because I want to add you. We do weekly updates of different things that are happening, that's taking place leading up to Bonnaroo. If you want to be a part of Bonnaroo, I'm going to give you this email address, and I want you to email me, because I may not have time afterwards for everybody to run up to me. The email address is lovereach2021@gmail.com. Very easy. lovereach2021@gmail.com. Email me if you want to be a part of Bonnaroo, and I will get in touch with you. But we need workers. We need workers in the prayer room. We need worship leaders in the prayer room. We need intercessors in the prayer room. We need people on the grounds working. And I'm not going to go into all that we do on the grounds, because that would take too long. But the emails that go out every week will share about that. To go out and be on the grounds, you have to go through our training. We have training in person at the Foundry with Scott and McLeod and his team on the 28th of August from 10 to 1. And then we're going to do a Zoom training on the 30th of August for those who live out of town and for those who live out of state. So would love to have you guys join us. Bless you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. Now, that was done good. She gave us a lot of information in a short amount of time. Let that be our template, okay? And I'm going to say, I'll tag that and say, Fathers, I'm looking for you to help me at the Father's Blessing Tent at Bonnaroo. If you've not been there and done that with us, come and give me a couple of hours of your time, and we get a chance to bless these folks as they go into the festival. They don't know what's coming when they stop by the tent and get a blessing that they never had as a child. Okay, come on up, Jennifer. It's hard when an evangelist gets up here, prophet.
I promise. I can
come up this way a little bit.
Okay.
So you can see everybody.
I can do this. Just to Jennifer Martin, Mundy Martin, my husband, Contagious Love International, for those of you that don't know us. But I wanted to, that's actually was on my heart to share just a little bit when you said that. Just wanted to bounce off that because what I've been releasing at the tent revival, which we're meeting in a church, but we're still the tent revival because we started a tent. But the Lord has been telling us about community, strengthening our community. We have planned and started prayer groups in homes and just strengthening those bonds together. And we're supposed to have these little fires everywhere. Do you remember that TV show coming out? I didn't watch it because it's probably worldly, but I saw the title coming out on HBO, and it was before COVID hit. It's called Little Fires Everywhere. I think it was Reese Witherspoon. Okay, so I knew the Lord was saying something, and that was before, you know, all the stuff of 2020. And then when that happened and everything got shut down, I said, oh, the Lord wants little fires everywhere in homes. And it's so we can be strong because the days of persecution are ahead, and God's preparing us now, and he's getting the oil in us now. We're going to become so strong that even if we get persecuted, it'll be like water off the duck's back or whatever, right? So I feel like this is strategic. So I just wanted to confirm what the Lord is showing you, that we're to have this and then in our homes and just have a place where you can be strong. If you don't have a community where you can meet with people, let's talk to each other in this place and let's open up our homes to each other and have that place of community so no one's alone, you know, and in the day of where we're needing that strength, you know.
That's good.
Did you want me to share anything
But we do need each other.
Yeah.
So how long is the revival meeting, tent revival, has it been going on?
So that started April 22nd, and we went 4 days was our initial thing where we were going to do a four-day tent revival, and God poured out in so much power, miracles, freedom, and deliverance of actually demonic deliverance that I had never seen before in my life. So I was like, what is happening? And so we continued it, we extended it, and we went daily for a few weeks, and then we started doing Thursday through Sunday for a few weeks, and then our land lease was up. We only had 30 days on that land, so we said, okay, Lord, do you want this to keep going? If so, we need a place, a location to open up. So we were talking to Mark about doing it here, actually. But the Lord wanted us to be closer to Rutherford County, so this church opened up to us, and now we meet every Friday night still, and the power of God is still pouring out. Miracles are still happening. Deliverance is still happening. The glory is just continuing to pour out on a beautiful, intimate level, and I'm just so happy. I hope it keeps going. I don't know where the Lord's going to take us, but I feel like we're following the cloud and, you know, the fire. And if he moves, wherever he moves, I just say, just don't leave me.
Amen.
I just want to follow you.
I think
people
would extend their hand to you right now.
Amen.
And I think, Mundy, come and stand up here. Let's ask God to give them strength and endurance. These things can wear you out in the natural, but there's so much power. James Gall and I have been trying to give spiritual oversight and encouragement to these two. We've watched them grow up into who God is making them now. Lord, finish what you've started here. We're asking for more of the kingdom to come as Jennifer and Mundy are ministering there in Murfreesboro and the region. And Lord, we just know it's a beginning. I believe you've called them to do this in many places around the country. They've already had invitations. Come here. Come here. And so we ask that you give them divine wisdom and discernment and a fresh anointing for what this season is for them. And we want to remember them and pray for them and send people to these revivals that they might be set free in the powerful name of Jesus to fulfill their destiny in you. We bless Mundy. We bless Jennifer. And take them even quicker beyond their years to a place of maturity and a place of great authority in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you guys so much.
So a number of years ago, before Awaken Nashville, I had a vision and I got to share it at Awaken Nashville, and I think it relates to the whole Gettysburg picture. So In the Battle of Gettysburg, Brigadier General John Buford was a cavalry officer for the Union, and he got there first. And one of the jobs of a cavalry officer is knowing where all the armies are. And so he surveyed the ground. He got a good feel for what was going on. He had 2,000 men dismount and hold. One in four held the horses. He told the other guys, dig in. In the morning, the Confederates are going to come across those wheat fields three lines deep. And as soon as we release our cannon, he had six cannon, every army will converge here. And I feel this prophetically, says the Lord. Every army will converge here as soon as they hear those cannon. And we've got the high ground. And if we hold the high ground until reinforcements arrive, we'll win this battle. He was right. They dug in the morning. I think the general was named Early. The Confederate general attacked across the wheat fields. And those 2,000 Union soldiers held the high ground until reinforcements came. Uncharacteristically, over the next day or so, General Lee kept attacking the Union on the high ground. Think about Pickett's charge. It was a foolhardy thing to do. That whole battle was won because one cavalry officer surveyed the ground and saw what was happening. We have the high ground, brothers and sisters, when we stand in love and unity and integrity. The world's falling apart quickly, and they will respond to that. If we walk in love and humility and integrity and the fullness of God, people will come and see it. And so people are coming here from all over. And there's going to be a battle, and we're going to win that battle. We're winning it right now, as long as we hold on to those things. So that came to me pretty strong before Awake in Nashville. And then, again, when I talked to Dave Clayton and all the guys, we shared that at Awake in Nashville. I believe that's what's taking place here prophetically. People are coming from all over the world. But when they come, this is a question for us, what will they find? If we don't hold the high ground, we'll lose. Okay? This is a grand opportunity. What is the high ground? I'll leave you with that question. I've already named it love, humility. What does it look like to walk that out with brothers and sisters who are different from you?
Pray into that real fast before you go.
In the name of the Lord Jesus, we walk in the power of what you've already done by your Holy Spirit. You have released love in this city, and we call it out in the name of Jesus. First, our hearts are right in love, and then we call it out of others. In the name of Jesus, we call love out. In the name of Jesus, we call out humility. We will take the last place and not the first place. We will honor our brothers and sisters above ourselves. We will walk in humility. Who will take it from you? If you walk in love, in humility, and integrity, no one can take it from you. Walk in it. The demonic world is confused by those things. And in the name of Jesus, we commit ourselves to walk in those things. And we will win. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you. Phil Dillingham, who's our part of our council here and has pastored many years at Priest Lake Christian Fellowship. Thank you for that word. It's going to resonate in my heart. Would you share with us about what you're doing? You've got a piece that's very important here. And then we have a lady from Murfreesboro that wants to share, and you want to share. Everybody gets a chance. Yes, yes. You can lead into that after you share this.
Okay. I'm Marion Farah, and I am a native Nashvillian, one of those odd ones still, yes. And I have benefited from so many conferences held in the city through the years. When the James and Michael Ann Gall used to do Women on the Front Lines, I mean, we lived for those conferences, and I benefited so much from it. And I feel like the Lord is calling us to open our city, open our hearts up to women again. And what we have received, we can give to them. I did this last year for the first time, and so this is my second annual conference. And the scripture the Lord gave me this year was out of Psalm 145, and he gives me the scripture repeatedly. I hear it just about every week. And it talks about one generation shall declare his mighty acts to the next one. So I am challenging you here to have a part in that, I would like to ask you to take one of these little cards with you and to give it to a young woman or an old woman. It doesn't matter. This is going to appeal to all ages. Friday, we're meeting at the Foundry, and Harvest Sound is doing the worship, and they carry revival. If you haven't heard them lately, they really do. Scott McLeod has graciously opened his doors to us, and we're going to start out Friday night, August 20th, with James Gall. Now, he has said on Facebook he has canceled all traveling ministry. He will be there. He is very excited about having a women's conference in the city again. And if y'all know, it will be amazing. So you don't want to miss it. Saturday morning, I have Dr. Joy Riley. She's an MD in the area who has given up a practice to focus on bioethics. And if you don't know what bioethics is, you need to know. And she's a very interesting, exciting speaker. She's going to do some interactive things. It'll be challenging. It'll be good. And I'm just going to read out the rest of the speakers. Jerry, if you want to come stick your head in the door, some of these women might make good speakers for Worship City Alliance. After lunch, we... I'm saving her to last. We start out after lunch with Jamie Hull. She is a spiritual direction coach. She's a really good speaker. Moody Press contacted her and asked her to write a book on mentoring right here in Nashville. Then we have Dana Lovelady. She's just a beautiful African-American woman. She works for CBN. She has a dramatic testimony that I think is really going to inspire people. Joan Masterson of One in Messiah Ministries. She has a brand new book out. She's all about Israel. And it's, you know, we just need to keep hearing about Israel. We have to remember to fit that piece in our lives. Diane John Bosch, she is with the Hispanic Family Foundation. This woman is doing incredible things in this city. She has a heart for the Hispanic community. She has had showers for the mothers-to-be in the Hispanic neighborhood. Each woman got a brand new stroller. Most of them only get used things, and they had all kinds of items they handed out. Last night, they had a meeting with the police precinct, rides for the kids, interaction with the police, and talking about how to make their community safe. And if you have never been in Plaza Mariachi, you need to go see it. That's where they're headquartered on Nolensville Road near the zoo. We have Gwendolyn Brown. She's a part of this house. She's a prophetic voice, a psalmist, and I know she's a powerful intercessor, too. We have Mary Trapnell, and she is with Anti-Human Trafficking Coalition here in Nashville. And she's bringing Christine Meadows, who's been rescued out of human trafficking, and they're going to share. And I mean, this is, we got to know this stuff. We got to know and hear what's going on right here in our city. And we have Denise Hughes as a member of this house, too, with Transformation Ministries. And she talks about identity. Everybody needs to know their identity in Jesus Christ. And Courtney Cordes of Harvest Sound is going to close us out Saturday afternoon. And if you've never heard Courtney, you need to come hear her. She's a firebrand. And right here, we have our own Jennifer Martin, who's going to close us out Saturday night. And Jennifer's going to bring the revival fire with her.
No pressure.
And she ministers in the glory, and it's going to be amazing. So I urge you all to support this in our city if you want it to continue. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you. I tell you what, you need to get to know this lady because she carries a lot. I traveled with her to D.C., not knowing what it would be like, but we went right into the congressmen's offices and prayed for them one-on-one. The legislators went to the Supreme Court, held a, I still remember this, we held on a string, you know, what do you call those things? A plumb line, yeah. Very intentional, a plumb line in front of the Supreme Court, and ask God for justice and equality. I took that same plumb line down to Peru and did it over their courthouse and brought it back to her safely. Thank God.
We've taken it to Revival Well.
Yeah.
And we hold up that plumb line. We want to pull out the good.
Okay, great. We're going to put it on pause for a second and give you a chance to, if you want to sow into, and then you can give while he's talking. Jeremy led worship for us. What's the phone number?
Your text and give number is 629-206-8452.
That's our text to give number. And if you didn't get that, go see Carl Albrick over there. But Jeremy got a call one day and somebody said, hey, there's this house of prayer starting on a hill overlooking Nashville. And as some of you know, Michael W. Smith, he just did a benefit and we've been raising money to buy the land. The people are already there and the intent is there to be day and night worship and prayer from Kings Hill overlooking the north part of the Nashville. And Jeremy lives up there. Tell us just briefly about this.
Okay, so how many of you already know about it? Do y'all know about it? Yeah, okay. So we're on the highest elevation of Nashville. We have about 5,000 square feet. We have about five guys and a girl living there now. Over the last 3 months, it went from a meth house to a prayer house. And we're still finishing up like the remediation right now. It's been pretty intense. We had our first event a few weeks ago. We raised about $40,000, but we need to buy it, which is $1.2 million. But some incredible things have happened this week. This week has been like a total 180. We just signed a deal. I think I'm allowed to say this. It should be fine. We signed a deal with one of my friends who their company raises money for people for Christian ministries, and they've collectively raised almost $1 billion over the life of their ministry. And so we signed a deal with them, and the guy who owns the ministry is personally coming here to help us raise money with another one of my friends that's partially involved in living at the house. So that's really good. We really believe, because the guy was like, oh, $1.2 million, we need to raise $10 million. We can do that. So that's kind of the goal, honestly. I believe it's going to happen. I honestly believe if y'all know about, do you remember the Passion of the Christ? Like the testimony behind that, it just fell into place. That's what's happening right now. I just met a new friend over the last week as well, who he goes around all around the world. He's connected to everybody. He actually helped Mike Bickle start IHOP like back in the day. He's friends with James Gall. He's friends with like everybody they all know, and it's ridiculous. But he goes to different churches and rebuilds them for free. And he came up to worship with me a few nights ago to like two and a half hours. He wants to literally come to Kings Hill and rebuild it for free. I'm not just saying that. Like it's for real. It's in the process. I just emailed the board and we're in works with that. Also, he has a big company in California that they own thousands of dollars worth of instruments, a sound system that reaches 20,000 people. We can house that stuff for free. So we have a free sound system, free keyboards, free everything. This dude is amazing. He's going to pour his life out to Kings Hill.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. You know, this is called Kings Hill. It's not IHOP, but it is a similar concept. It'll be Nashville House of Prayer, Kings Hill. And there's great potential for what God may do with this, and we want to encourage you to pray for them, raise finances. All those things are important. Now listen, in this little intermission, thank you for your giving, but I want to say you don't have to just make this an announcement about an event. You can talk about something that's happening that God's giving you a revelation on. This is a time for all of that. And Susan Carter had her hand up. So Susan drove from Murfreesboro. Dear saint of God that knows how to get hold of heaven. And I want to hear from you.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
So a minute ago, I was just like going crazy when you were sharing. And forgive me, I already forgot your name. But Bobby, you were kind of describing the Stones River battle when you were talking about the picture you were seeing with the river and the different sides. So you might want to research that. That is the battle of the Civil War that happened in Murfreesboro. And just some really significant things that have come from that was it was during the Stones River battle that the Emancipation Proclamation was signed.
and because Abraham Lincoln saw a shift in the war, he saw the news was different, and so he said, and one of the quotes that he made about that battle was, if they had not won the battle in Murfreesboro, they surely would not have won the war, they would have lost the war. One of those, I've actually researched it, but I don't remember if he said they would, you know, so it was so important of a battle, and I believe that that has a lot to do with God calling people into this place. I came here for 07, 07, 07. I was in Florida, had been doing houses of prayer at that time for 7 years, and after that, God called me up here to move here to start a house of prayer in Murfreesboro. So September 9th of this year will be 12th anniversary, 12 years open of a house of prayer in Murfreesboro. Just super honored by God to be able to do just what he's called me to do and what he's called to happen in that city. Chuck Pierce also had a word over our region that he released in 2015 that had been given to him by the Lord 25 years earlier. In Murfreesboro, when he and his wife Pam were studying all the Civil War battles in an RV going across the country. And the Lord told him, as the battle happened on the field, as the turning point and the more of a shift in the battle on the field would be the same thing that happened in the spiritual realm for our nation in these days in the spiritual battle. And at that moment, I was like, okay, that's why I got called to do a house of prayer in Murfreesboro, because I was in the Tampa Bay region. And when he said, there's not enough room for you here, I said, do you know how many people are here compared to Murfreesboro, Tennessee? Because I was like at that last place, are you really calling me to go to Murfreesboro from Tampa Bay and I already have a house of prayer? And he said, there's not enough room for you here. And I said, that's because the influence, you know, and we're right there with MTSU with like over 100 different countries represented by the students there. It's pretty crazy. And Jennifer and Mundy, mentioned their 100. We're one of their 100. I don't know if they know that, but on Tuesday mornings, the prayer meetings that they're doing. Right. Stones River Church of Christ is Charismatic Church of Christ is where that they are doing their meetings. And there's a group that's connected there called The Bread. And The Bread is this amazing ministry with some wonderful evangelistic discipling hearts in Murfreesboro that are literally starting groups throughout our entire city. And it is just so exciting what's going on in Murfreesboro right now and spreading out. And so much of that has just all been interconnected in Murfreesboro. You know, I'm there praying, and the Lord said, if you don't see this place ever filled, but yet you see every ministry in this city on fire, are you going to be okay with that? And I'm like, yeah, a lot less energy. Takes a lot less work to run a house of prayer than it does to evangelize the entire city. But I can pray for the harvest to come in, and that's my passion. And the one thing I just wanted to share at the beginning was, I feel like the Lord is saying, you know, the Lord established. Sorry, I get a little too fast, don't I? I feel like I'm a water, one of those things, you know. Just, but, you know, God came. He said he created man in his own image. He created male and female. He told male and female to multiply. And we have watched the enemy bring in abortion. We've watched the enemy bring in the destruction of marriage between a male and a female. And now he has destroyed people's identity. And it's just gone the opposite direction. And the Lord says, this is the area that the enemy has designed to destroy our entire world and our nation. And we just need to continue to say, no, speak identity. Speak the truth into marriage and speak against and pray against abortion.
So good. And I'll tell you what, you are a blessed person if you get invited to Susan's birthday parties. I'm on her list. I get to go. And they're pretty good. Get to know Susan. I'm telling you what, Susan honestly is a champion and a giant in our area. A lot of people don't really realize, I don't think, what she does. Hey, are there any quick questions that you'd like to ask before we let some other folks share? Any questions that's been on your mind about Worship City Alliance, about what God's doing in our city? Anybody have a question of anybody that's already spoken that we didn't get to speak? You want to question the coffee over there? Hey, will you take any questions? Well, tell me what is Brazilian. Come on, real quick. Tell me what is Brazilian coffee. Because it's free, guys. Go help yourself. Have a cup right now. You can have it right this moment.
I didn't like coffee growing up in America. I like Starbucks because of the coffee milkshake. You put a lot of cream in there. But I never drank coffee black. And I was a missionary to Brazil. And I thought, man, I'm going to go down here. I'm going to lose weight. Everything's not going to be any good. And I started eating, and I loved the food. And I started drinking the coffee. And I thought, man, this is like better than anything I've had in my life. So I would bring like loads, backpacks, I mean, suitcases full of coffee back to America. And I guess one way that God's worked in my life is making me, you know, call me to do stuff I don't want to do, like go to Brazil. But I loved it. And so I get back to America, and a couple years later, my stepdad, Paul Van Hosen, he says, hey, you need to do a business for coffee. And my first thought is like, this has got to be the enemy. This is not God. Like, I'm writing screenplays. I'm a missionary. I'm a pastor. I do so much, there's no way I can have time for coffee. Because I know if I do it, I'm going to put too much into it. And this little voice, you know, inside, I realize that's what really brings us together is that voice inside, the Holy Spirit. You know, because all my Bible, all my everything I grew up with is different than my stepdad. We may be similar, but he's more business-minded, you know, and I'm more creative-minded. Like, I don't have time to do this. But something inside me kept saying, do the coffee. Say yes, say yes. And the minute I said yes, it's like a million doors open up. I mean, I'm in Brazil. I stay in the favela, like the slums, where people get killed. Like, I mean, I'll walk out and there'll be like a painting of a body where someone's been, you know, murdered, you know, a little draw, and there's some blood on the street, and they're like, oh yeah, this guy got shot through the night. And it happens all the time, a lot. And so this barista, who's one of the high guys in the coffee world, stays in the same mission base I'm staying at with Iris. And he's like, yeah, I'm a barista. I know all the coffee producers and farmers, and I know the national champion for latte art. Come to Curitiba with me. So I go to Curitiba, Brazil, and next thing I know, I meet like all the big shots in the coffee world. And I end up going to the coffee farms, driving out there and spending the night in these millionaire mansions. And they're like, yeah, we're going to let you try 100 cups of coffee tomorrow. Which one do you like? And I'm like, well, I like about half of them. They're incredible. And so God just opened up a million doors for me. And what I love is the coffee that I tried down there. It's smooth. It's nutty. It's a little chocolatey, caramel, a little fruity. And you can taste it in the coffee. You don't need cream and sugar. I mean, a lot... Yeah, people love to put cream and sugar still, but it's so good, you don't need it.
So how can we get your coffee? Because he didn't bring any to sell today, but with your permission, I may put one ad up on Facebook on Worship City Alliance and just let you know that that's a connection to support this brother. Mm-hmm. And I love your heart for Brazil. We met at a coffee place.
We did. That's right.
It was Panera Bread. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I got reconnected to Don and his home Melchizedek Church. And I'm just telling you, it was a divine appointment. We've had some great fellowship. But we'll put an ad up on just to say, support this ministry. You can go there and find the varieties. I've had about every one of them except the new one.
Not Samba. That Samba is new. I don't have it up here yet.
Thank you so much. Hey, you know, we've got a couple of people I've never heard from, and I want you to come up because you're the quiet one in the room. Come on over here. And you may have seen him as he's distributed free New Testaments with Jeff. Tell us your name and who you're working with, and that's the guy. You can point at him if you want to. Go ahead.
Yes.
Well, my name is David Phillips. And I'm
Don Phillips' son?
John Phillips' son.
Okay. We know John Phillips.
And I was in Central America for quite a while and moved back and started working with Jeff in December. And we've had the privilege of working on these small Bibles, which has been one of the greatest privileges I've ever had in all the ministry that I've done. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about some of the exciting things we've been able to work on. Jeff and I finished writing a couple months ago the seventh edition of the front material that we put in these Bibles. And we really took a different approach, I think, than had been done before. It's got a salvation section that really, we just did as much as we could to strip away all the religious lingo and get to the heart of it. It comes from a position of adoption. You know, the first question in there is, why do I feel like I don't belong? And would God want me to be a part of his family? And it's just beautiful. And we wrote a lot of the, pretty much every question we made major changes on, and just felt such an anointing, and just, Lord, how would you respond to someone asking this question? You know, because there's all these different ways to answer it, but how would you do it? And so we finished editing that, And we're so excited. We're about to receive our first shipment of these new Bibles in just a couple weeks. And even just last night, I've got a friend who's atheist, agnostic, and we were in a men's group together. And he just opened up and started asking questions. And I got to share from memory a lot of the materials out of this Bible. And he just sat and just listened and was so fascinated. Because like I said, we try to really strip away as much of the religious lingo and just get down to the heart of it. And what we're equally excited about, which is something we've never been able to do before, is we're working on printing Spanish Bibles. And we're in the process of getting all these materials translated into Spanish. With just politically everything that's going on, all the immigration, legal and illegal, as a lot of people would say, we know that God can be glorified through all of it. And this huge wave of people coming into our country, we want to capture them. And we want God to capture their hearts. And so we've seen a sense of urgency to get this off the ground,
yes,
so that we
amen.
Can get Bibles in the hands
amen.
Of as many people as we can.
Well, I want to say thank you. That there is a free copy for everyone that wants one if you promise to give it away. Because you've got enough Bibles, but you can see what they're talking about, what they've written. Larry, you've got something, I'm sure, so think about it. And this gentleman, see, I stand up here and I've seen all these hands. So I saw yours a while ago. I don't want to forget you. You have to come up and tell us who you are and what you do. I know, because this couple is a faithful supporter of WCA. I'm going to tell everybody publicly. It's just every month. They don't have to even be here. They know that they believe in what's happening here. I want to say thank you.
You are welcome. And that's one thing I wanted to mention, actually. Yes, we are monthly supporters because we believe in the mission, the vision of Worship City Alliance. And all of you here know, and there are hopefully many more will be listening, I encourage you to become a monthly supporter. It doesn't have to be a lot, but it would help WCA be able to plan next month, next year, knowing how much funding they can count on. So I want to encourage you to do that. The other thing that the Lord is showing me, Jerry, is that He is giving you new strategies for the expansion and fortification. Those are the two words He gave for WCA. And there's so much that's being said this morning that there's an interweaving of all of this into new strategies for you for WCA. And it's coming from the Father's heart for the mission of unity in the body in Nashville and Middle Tennessee, unity of churches and the body. And there's so much that He's doing through relationship through you, and that's His plan. That's how He's wanted to do this. So these new strategies are coming for expansion and fortification. This is going to expand in the right time at a rate that you are not expecting.
Well, I received that. That's
amen.
Great. Thank you so much.
Oh, by the way,
Rick,
your
name?
I'm Rick Hensley with Restoring the Foundations Ministry.
Amen. We're so glad the Lord brought Restoring the Foundation from North Carolina, all the way from North Carolina to be headquartered here. So let's see, one hand here, and Mindy, you had yours up. You want to come over? We're almost close to the top of the hour, but let me just say, this is also an opportunity to maybe go up to someone and say, Don, I don't know if there's anything between us or not, but I want to take the first step. If I've done anything to offend you, will you forgive me?
Amen.
Would you? Because I want to keep things clean between us.
And likewise, if I've offended you, please share with me.
Any Thank blessings? You. Those are things we forget to do. We take every avenue to kind of move on past the person instead of saying, wait a minute, what's going on here? And it takes boldness, but it takes obedience to the Word. Because the Word says that we're to keep accounts short. You know, we're to wash one another's feet. And we used to do that in the Jesus movement all the time. And it really was a hard thing to not weep when somebody's washing your feet and showing you that that they love you and they're sorry for any things that divide us. Why don't you share real quick? Okay, feel free. This is Mindy. Tell her your whole name, what you do.
Okay, so my name is Mindy. I am a member of One Stone. What don't I do? I have my own ministry. I serve coordinating. I'm actually coordinating the Women's Conference for Marion.
She's a very good administrator if you're interested in help.
And then I do a lot of other things in the city as well. But I think Jennifer was talking about identity, and you guys were talking about identity too. And I think for me, my heart, my biggest heart is to see identity and freedom brought to different people. I personally have come into some extreme freedom in the last, like, 6-7 months, physical and spiritual.
Yes, she has.
And a lot of people that know me can attest to that. But the biggest one was just brief. In 1994, I think it was, I was hit by a car riding my bicycle. Ended up with a brain injury, had to go in for brain surgery. I was 13. And the physical part of it was fine. Like, I was back at school a week later, out of the hospital, like 72 hours after the surgery. But then things didn't start working right. And come to find out, I lived with things for 26 years, not knowing what was going on. Like, there was a lot of things that were just happening, and doctors were like, oh, we don't know. You have all your parts. Your hormones are fine. We don't know. But there were issues, and no one could figure it out. Finally, God sent me to Nashville, had me start looking again after fighting with him and saying no, I wasn't going to do it. Long story short, ended up at a clinic in Utah in October and discovered, went through their testing and discovered that I had been living with post-concussion syndrome for 26 years and didn't know it. And the post-concussion syndrome caused sleep deprivation, all this stuff, and went through their week-long program, and it was literally a week, and after a week, it was completely gone. And so, and then in the middle of it, that was the physical thing. So the post-concussion syndrome is completely gone, and then in the middle of it, because over 26 years of having all these problems, all these people in my life were just like, you know, I had social disabilities. I had all these things because of the PCS. And, you know, there came a lot of attacks against my identity.
Right.
You know, like, you're slow, you're dumb, how come you're this way? You've got this, you know, you're autistic, all these things. And it's just, after 26 years of hearing it, even from friends and family, you start to believe it.
You start to believe it, yeah.
And so for 26 years, that was my identity. And in that moment when I was told that this was the issue, that all of these things that you had encountered were not your fault, it was the fault of the accident. In that moment, God was like, all of these word curses, all of these lies, all of these labels have been completely debunked in this moment. And so during that 1 week period, not only was I healed on a physical level, but I was healed on a spiritual level as well. And so for me, it's like I want to, you know, shout it from the rooftops, you know, and share with everyone that there is freedom in Christ. There's freedom in physical healing as well. Wow. And that really ties into my ministry real quick. I have a ministry that's nationwide. I was hoping to, you know, go start local and move up, but God had other plans on it. and I basically am in a position where I demonstrate love and hope, joy, and identity to adults nationwide who are battling a terminal illness. So whether it's cancer or any other terminal illness, I come on board and I grant them a wish. So I'm like a Make-A-Wish Foundation for adults that are battling a terminal illness. And because I'm a spiritual organization as well, underneath the current, I'm able to get in there and pray for healing and speak identity and speak freedom into these adults nationwide in order to provide, you know, hope and joy and a reason to fight and to live in their deepest, darkest times. And we've granted 20 wishes so far in about 4 years nationwide. We actually granted 5 wishes last year during COVID in the country. And so we have a couple of clients that are still alive today after praying for healing and freedom. So, yeah.
Well, thank you, Mindy, so much. Hey, would you extend your hand? Let's just bless this thing that God has placed in her. I mean, how many? Raise your hand just for a moment. You didn't know that what this woman did. Look here. Mindy, you've been here faithfully almost every WCA. And that's how many people didn't know what you did. Is there a lesson here? Is there anything we could learn? Folks, we got to take time. I know life is busy. It comes at you fast. But look in someone's eye and find out what they're about. Don't ask them what they do. Just say, who are you? Who are you? And you might be amazed. God is so faithful. Look what he's done. Lord, we extend. Would somebody else pray this? I don't want to just be the one praying. Pray out loud and pray for Mindy for there to be multiplication. Come on up. Multiplication on what she's put her hand to in Jesus' name.
Lord, I thank God for Mindy. I thank how she has blessed me. That she was really the catalyst that pushed me out last year and to get that women's conference going.
Oh, my.
Used her, Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for every anointing, every gifting, every talent that she carries, Lord. I thank you for her ministry, Lord. And we just call in the people that are called to support her. We call in that person to be out front, a known figure in the area that could really champion this ministry for her. Lord, we ask for those you want to touch through Mindy, Lord God, and we call in all the provision in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for her healing, Lord, and we ask you just to continue to minister to her that she can pour out to others. And Lord, we ask you to increase her faith. We thank you for her steadfastness, Lord, and we thank you for her vision into the future.
Amen.
And her prophetic gifting in Jesus' name.
God is so good. Thank you for sharing that. Rob, come on up real quick. We've really kind of come to the end of our time, but I hate to stop. There's so much yet to be said, but go ahead. Tell them who you are.
Right.
You're from Williamson College.
Well, that's one of my jobs, I guess. Rob Frazier. I'm actually with ACT International, the covering organization for Worship City Alliance. Stands for Artist and Christian Testimony. Jerry's been with us for a long, long time. Carl and Land Albrecht and The Well are part of our ministry. We're kind of an umbrella 501c3 giving birth and support to about 450 independent ministries worldwide. And I just wanted to share, we've been hearing a lot about what's going on here in Nashville, Middle Tennessee, which of course is important. We're supposed to seek the welfare of the city where we dwell. But the term that just kept coming to me as I'm sitting here is that there is so much hidden fruitfulness in the world today. I just wanted to share a couple of things that our organization has been able to birth just lately. Founded by Dr. Byron Spradlin, how many years ago? 40-some years ago. Four creatives, giving kind of credence and affirmation to creative ministry when it was really not understood in the evangelical church, like even my dad, a pastor, his son here, you know, a musician. You want to be a Christian, sing, like full-time with your life, you know? Just come sing during the offering. That's good enough. So really struggled for many years, but really at the turn of the new millennium when we really began to understand, the church began to understand that arts create culture, barely began to take off. But about 3 years ago, as we were seeing so many people come to us who, trying to do things that were not necessarily artistic but innovative, we started a new division called IMI, Innovative Ministries International. And wow, has God blessed some of the hidden fruitfulness. A pastor from Virginia who just got sort of sick of church politics started going to India a few years ago and encountered this amazing apostolic figure there named Yeshu Padam, who has planted completely out of the spotlight 30,000 home churches over his 30-year career in rural parts of India, mainly semi-literate or illiterate kind of farmers just leading these small home churches. And Dan, his name's Dan, well, use his first name, said, we've got to train these guys. So about a few years ago, he started taking pastors over there to train these pastors who are many semi-literate or illiterate in these 1 and 2 week Bible institutes. And so he's been doing that now for 5 years. And it's an amazing thing, Jerry. You and I are going to go on one of these trips. We're going to
planning on it.
Phil and whoever else would like to go. Hidden fruitfulness. Another one of our ministries has a theater company in Holland. You know, the Netherlands is just fully embracing post-Christian ethic. this gal runs into many Dutch people who really have no idea any of the basics of Christianity. One well-known actor in her group came to her and said, "Tell me something. I've always wondered, why is there a cross on the top of churches? What does that mean?" Can you imagine growing up in Western culture not having any idea of the significance of the cross? So this is a ministry embracing many Christians and welcoming the theatrical community. It's become a nationally known theater company in Holland. People are getting saved. Hidden fruitfulness. Another one of our couples is living in Thailand, teaching in an English language school. It's working on very tiny little Thai salaries. They are birthing home churches all over Bangkok. Let's stay focused on our home area, but don't forget, God is working worldwide.
Yes.
And a lot of it's flowing out of here. So let's raise our vision. But WCA is key to everything.
Hidden gems everywhere.
Hidden fruitfulness. Thanks.
Hey, has this been... Yeah, I like that. Hidden fruitfulness. That's well said. Remember that if you don't remember anything else today. Hidden fruitfulness all around us. We've seen it in this room. Has this been good so far? I've enjoyed this. And... let's see, Carl has something. Here's Carl. I sure do appreciate every one of you. You mean a lot to me.
I promise not to do more than an hour here.
Okay.
No, I wasn't going to share, but you guys got me all wound up. I felt like the Lord was speaking one thing, and I realized why he said, don't say anything, don't say anything. And then it was like, now. And the Lord was saying this, you can't be everywhere that I am, but you can bless everything that I'm doing. And that's the call of WCA, because I get excited when I hear these things. Man, I haven't been back down to the meeting. I'm like, Lord, I got to get back down to the revival. I got to get out. I want to go to King's. Do you ever feel the pull? Like, I want to be everywhere God is doing something. And the Lord says, you can't, because it's exploding, this time of local and international, what Rob had. But the Lord said he's really calling not just WCA, but those of us that are the parts of the body, which is the whole body of Christ, to bless what the Lord is doing and to guard the unity. This term, the unity and the integrity of who we are and the integrity of the body, is so important, because that's where the enemy is really hammering us right now, whether it's the politics of the day or whether it's facts or not facts or whether it's your doctrine or something. The enemy is all about dividing and conquering, kill, steal, destroy. But the Lord said, bless what I'm doing. Take your position in the body and go after it full on. And he said, besides that, like, you can't be everywhere, but bless what I'm doing. He says, what's in your hand? Just do what's in your hands and bless what I'm doing in other places, and I'll show you the process. So that, to me, was kind of what I kept hearing in this flow of things. And you guys, I'm not going to preach a sermon. I got into 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul's talking about all the parts of who we are as the body of Christ, and it's a beautiful thing. It's not complicated, but it's profound, and it does become the spiritual battleground for what we're trying to see done in our time. So I bless what you're doing in the name of the Lord. I bless what the Lord is doing in the body. Just in this room was an amazing testimony.
Oh my gosh.
Right there. So imagine, multiply that way beyond what we can comprehend. That's what Paul is telling us, and the Lord calls us to as the body. So, bless you.
And we need each other. We need to be community. We need to have a place where we can go. If we have somebody that can pray with us, and we can call them up and say, I'm going through a rough place. And then we can stay on the battlefield.
Hello, my name is Daniel Pryor. I'm a minister at Melchizedek Christian Church. I've been in Nashville my whole life, was born here, was raised here. I was at 7707, but I was 15, and pretty much what I remember about the day, it was really freaking hot, and I was ready to go home. So that was my experience at 7707. But I just wanted to say, maybe you guys have heard of Nietzsche, Friedrich Nietzsche. He's a psychologist, philosopher, whatever you want to call him, but he made the famous quote that God is dead. And a lot of people have heard that, and a lot of people think that that was the end of Christianity and God being alive. But if you continue to read what he talks about God is dead, we've killed God, but he says that now that God is dead, there's going to be a need for autonomous individuals to be raised up and to create their own value system.
And that's where he was ultimately going, was individuals who could create their own value system, create their own morals, create their own ethic, et cetera, essentially be their own God. And when you play that out, ultimately it fails. It's not going to work out. We know that, obviously. But really, in our age, that's where we are, is that you're finding individuals who are making themselves into somewhat of a superhuman individual and declaring what value and ethic and moral and all these things are. And, you know, being in Nashville, I grew up in a charismatic church. I went to Harvest, which was a church plant of Belmont when I was a kid. Went to Belmont and been in and out of the circles in a lot of different ways. But, you know, I've heard about revival and awakenings, and I've been to many of events. And one thing that I think that God is calling me to, and in what I've been really asking the Lord, is that whenever you talk about revival or awakening, you have to talk about the fact that something has to be dead. If you're going to revive something, if you're going to awaken something, you've got to really identify what's dead. And I think that is really a huge problem in our culture, in our society, is that we do not have this thing that wants to really look at ourselves and say, this is exactly what's dead in me, and this is the death. But when you go into the emergency room and you're deathly sick, what's the first thing they start doing? They start listing out all of the dead things. They don't talk about how great you are, how great you're going to be. When they get you fixed up, they start saying, hey, his blood pressure is going through the floor, or it's going through the ceiling. You know, he's losing blood, whatever's going wrong with you. But they start identifying, this is the place of death, so that in identifying it, they can start to speak life into it, and they can start to change it. And I feel like as believers, and I mean, we represent really probably a small vein of believers, because I mean, you have Baptists and Presbyterians and all different type of sects and denominations that aren't represented in this room necessarily. But I feel like God wants us to be a voice where we do say, hey, there needs to be revival. There needs to be awakening. There needs to be a true life that comes forth. And I think that we need to do a better job of really identifying where's the death been. And I think that in the hearts of the people, you know, all these people are coming to Nashville, and I don't think they really know why they're coming here. You know, I think they come for an image, they come for an hope, they come for a dream, they come for this idea of I'm going to be a star, and I'm going to play a guitar, and I'm going to make money, and I'm going to be somebody. But most of those people don't make it anywhere, and they end up doing something they never thought they would end up doing, and it's really sad. But I feel like they're in a prime position for us to be able to say, hey, this is where you're dying. But we have to not be afraid of going into the hell of those people's hearts and really speaking life. And I feel like that's what God's calling us to do. But it's scary to go into someone else's hell. But I feel like that's where God's called
Boy,
us
that's a
and
good
brought
word.
Us to speak life.
That is a good word, brother. Boy, I tell you, that is it. You don't know who you're going to meet when you leave here today. And right now, this is an opportunity for me to focus in closing that WCA can grow and be all that God wants it to be as you invite people, as you meet people that are needing a community, needing fellowship. I said, I would have never met these fellas if it hadn't been for going outside and meeting a guy who wanted to talk about coffee outside of Panera Bread. I listened to a guy on the radio as a youngster. He was the lead singer for Petra. I would have never known this guy over here would be co-pastoring with the artist in Christian Testimony with me. And I'm just going, man, I couldn't have seen that coming, Rob. And I was on an airplane coming back from Israel. I had gone to the World Congress on the Holy Spirit with Catherine Kuhlman as the person that led us, and I got on the plane, and there was a guy named Larry Tomczak. I did an interview with him on the airplane on the way back from Israel so many years ago. Went to Jesus festivals and would listen to this guy speak. I want him to close us in prayer. If you do that for me. This guy is part of the reason I'm here, because he has been such an encouragement. He really makes me feel good every time he says something, because he's always an encourager and he's always praying for me and believing in me. Larry, come over and just go ahead and close us with prayer. You want to stay there?
Yeah, that's all right.
Hey. And if you have anything you want to share, but just close us in prayer before we go. I appreciate
you. Okay. Well, Jerry, first of all,
and I believe I'm speaking on behalf of everybody. The Bible says give honor to him, honor to do. We honor the Lord, but we want to, I think, collectively say thank you to you. You are, you're,
thank you.
Yeah. Really, we love you. And when we moved here about 15 years ago, my daughter bumped into Jerry, and I mean, she loves this guy. And she said recently, we had Jerry over, and we had hours together, my wife and I, and my daughter and Jerry, and it was just so special to hear your heart. You've never changed. You've been so consistent, and my daughter said this recently. This was cute. She says, you know, sometimes I'm not always sure what to do, and remember that bad, you know, bracelet used to be WWJD. What would Jesus do? She said, Sometimes I find myself saying, WWJBD, what would Jerry Bryant do? She says that because you're such a man of stature.
My gosh.
We're going to market that. How about it? Let's start selling that. We'll make money for missions. But so cool. Jerry, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And if I can just say this, and then we'll pray. We are really at a pivotal time. This is a defining moment in this nation. This is not some people, like some lady I bumped into on my prayer walk in our neighborhood last week. She said, yeah, I'm just visiting from Indiana. And somehow we, you know, I always look, divine appointment, started to talk to her about the culture, some of the stuff. And she said, it'll work itself out. And there's a lot of people that believe what's going on today. It's just cyclical, no big deal. Hey, remember we had things like this? And not really. I mean, really. The whole soul of our nation is up in the air. And if I can recommend a book, there's a book that came out 2 weeks ago. Believe it or not, you know, some people say, man, I sold 10,000. I can't believe it. It's a bestseller. Mark Levin has written a book called American Marxism. Yeah. And over 500,000 within 2 weeks are gone. You really want to be reading some, but it's about the counter-revolution that's taking place in America. We had one revolution that birthed this nation. And there is a Marxist, couched in terminology, progressive left, and we say, you know, social justice, and it's demonic, and it's dividing, and it's going to destroy this nation unless we have what we're praying for, and that is first the revival in the church and another great awakening. And I was at the round table months back with Rick Joyner and a group of people, and Lou Engel said, I remember he just looked and he said, and I know Lou. He used to live a few doors down from me. We're best of buddies for probably 40 years. But he just said, without, and I can hear him, he said, you know, without revival, without awakening, this nation is doomed. And he wasn't just being dramatic. We are really at a pivotal time. And we need to believe God for revival, which is for the church. I was part of the Brownsville Revival 5 years there all the time. But we would have to tell people, revival's not, yeah, revival come to Hollywood. May revival come to the... Revival's the church. It's not talking about society.
Amen.
The awakening will be the result and reformation, and we want to believe for that. So, Father, we open our hearts today, and we humble ourselves, and we say, God, we can't pull this thing off. All our good ideas and programs, we're going to do everything you lead us to do. As Jesus said, I only do that which the Father does. The Father shows me, and that's what we want to do, and we're hearing it. What we're hearing today, Father, this is phenomenal. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes, and we'll be faithful. But God, would you please help us and stir us as a nation,
yes,
that there be a supernatural sense of conviction in this nation that we must turn from our wicked ways and humble ourselves and look to you that we could see healing in this land. And so, Lord, we can't pull it off. But we're going to do what we're called to do in proclamation of the transformative gospel message and then unwavering truth. And we're going to believe, God, that there can be a turnaround and that we have hope in our heart that, Lord, you love this nation, this covenant nation, that when the pilgrims came and they said clearly their covenant was, we are here coming for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. We are going to honor that commitment and we're going to do our part. And so, Father, we pray today as we leave, we'll be encouraged, but also sobered that this is a very pivotal, defining moment in America's history. Speak to us and awaken us in this hour, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You know what, Jerry, I thought this, and I'd encourage you if you want, Google this later. I was sitting yesterday in a lobby, and there was a muted screen. The Olympics were on, and I was doing some work. But I looked up, and I thought, what is this? Because I have to admit, there were certain things with the Olympics that are going on, and a certain individual in the women's soccer, and I was not disappointed when they lost, because what this person represents, and America, and tear it down, and Colin Kaepernick, and yeah, and lesbianism, and all this kind of stuff, and I just, you know, it gets discouraging at that, but then I'm looking up, and I couldn't hear a thing, but this was a woman's wrestler. She was a black lady. I didn't even know there was women's wrestling in the Olympics, but she won. She beat somebody from Nigeria. And then, and Google this, just Google this. She wrapped herself in the American flag. Did you see this, Jerry? She put that on, and when she got on this platform, she said, oh, I'm so happy. I love America. I love this nation. And I achieved this by the grace of God. And she was just passionate for this nation, patriotic, humble, gracious, representing my husband, the family, my dad in heaven, God-fearing. It was just like a statement.
Good,
whoever
yeah.
saw it. And
yeah.
if you missed it, just Google woman wrestler from America that won the gold medal.
It's like the girl the other day that won, and she said, all I did was trust the process, and I'd believe in Jesus. And that, and she got her, trust the process, she got her medal. Thank you so much. Larry Tomczak from Larry Tomczak Ministries. And all right, so the only thing I can say as we close is, by faith, take the next step.